I would ask of you, if you still have your mother here, ask God to show you a special way to honor her. Send her a letter. Write a letter from your heart. It doesn't have to be any beautiful, glorious words, but just what's on your heart. Mother, Mom, I appreciate you for this. I appreciate you for nursing me. I appreciate you for taking care of me. I appreciate you for driving me to school. I appreciate you for coming to my games. I appreciate you for supporting me in this, that, and the other. I appreciate you. I appreciate you for staying with my dad. I appreciate you for believing in me when I didn't believe in myself. There's so much if we just take the time and focus on the value of your mother, the value of your mother. You'd be surprised as to what just encouragement will do to a person. It strengthens us. Mothers are a special gift, and children are a special gift. The Bible says that children are the heritage of the Lord. He says the fruit of the womb is our reward. The fruit of the womb. I'm so glad God did it the way he did it. That he didn't just keep creating mankind like he did Adam, but he allowed each one of us to be born, and he put us in a secret place. He hid us in a secret place in our mother's womb, where there was the care and the nurturing that took place because God so orchestrated it that way. With that in mind, my husband wrote what I believe is one of the most profound articles entitled Mothers: The Womb of, wait, no, let me do it right. Where? Here, the womb that incubates potential. Is that right, Pastor?
See?
Mother, the womb that incubates potential. He had written this some years prior to this time. He made some revisions to it. Some of you, like me, sometimes I don't get a chance to see all of his articles. If you have not read this article, I would encourage you to please read this article, especially mothers. Especially mothers. I told him, I said, I thought the first article you wrote could not be perfected. It could, nothing could make it any better. He made some revisions and I thought, oh my God, okay. But there was so much in this that touched my heart and I said, okay. Okay, it just so happened, Pastor, that some of the things that I had written down kind of piggybacked here. So you will forgive me for plagiarism, right? You would allow me to plagiarize your writing. Yeah, I thought you would. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. But he talks in this article about how a pregnancy, a child in the womb, is so parallel to God's creation, how God created. And I'm going to have to read just some of this because I can't do it any better than what he did. But I want to read, and I get onto my husband. I was like, don't read to us when you're doing your message because it's hard when you're reading to somebody else. So I wish I'd asked you, Byron, to put it up on the screen. Mother, the womb that incubates potential. Can your technology do that? Yeah, thank you. We appreciate you. In the meantime, I will read that first paragraph, and I will do my best to read it where you can understand. And it talks about the bonding of a mother and child. He says, the attachment of mother and child is the closest natural relationship on earth. There are so many lessons illustrated through the dynamic union created by God for the procreation of the human race. In her womb, she carries and nurtures it as it develops and develops into a matured life that is ready to pass through the birth canal. Her body goes through a metamorphosis in preparation for the day of delivery. Everything she does leading up to that moment has an effect on the precious gift from God that she carries. Amen. Everything that she does has an effect on that child that's in the womb. It parallels the creation narrative when the Holy Spirit incubated over the face of the waters and waited for the spoken word of God after God said the words, let there be. The Holy Spirit moved in an effort to make what was spoken to become. Similarly, God spoke his word over each of us when he said, let there be you, Douglas. Let there be you, Renata. Let there be you, Aaron. Let there be you, Charlotte. Your being was kept and formed in the secret place of your mother's womb. It was kept in the secret place of your mother's womb. There is so much that we can learn through this miraculous, and I won't just call it an event, I will say experience, mothers. There's so much that parallels with God's creation, and you have to read the rest of Pastor's article to get that in its fullest. And I personally learned so much about God during my pregnancy. You think about a seed and an egg, and it evolves into a human being, and the mother's body goes through stages, and it changes, and it prepares for the coming of this precious, precious gift. Even how the internal organs begin to shift and make room for that child to grow and develop, for that child to that, as we call it, the fetus, to be formed. You know, God said, I knew you before you were formed. I knew you before you were even you. I knew you. This is going to make a whole lot of sense in just a little while. God knew us before we were formed. Today, as parents, we have a big struggle. We have a big battle. We have a war that we're dealing with. And it has to do with the identity of our children. I'm sure a lot of you could really talk about this in much greater extent than I can. But there's an outright, just an attack on the family. The family dynamics have changed. And this thing is, I call it the new abnormal. It's not the new normal, it's the new abnormal. We as mothers, Father, this applies to you, but if you God will just be all right with me today since we're focusing on mothers. as the Bible talks about instructions and wisdom coming from both the mother and the father, we have got to talk with our children, our nieces, our nephews, our families about the truth concerning God's words in regards to gender identity, sexual identity, because if we don't, this new abnormal will be the new normal. This thing affects little tiny children. From my understanding, I spoke to a young lady who attends this church who's a teacher. And she said, Elder Friend, you know what? I think I might have to retire because I cannot submit to some of the laws and policies that are in place. You can't call a boy child a he. You can't call a girl child a she. This whole thing with the pronouns and you got to do this. She said, I don't think I can, I can't do it. I'm really ready to retire. This is unbelievable. I didn't think, and look, it's so many terms. When I started to do a little research, there are so many terms that I literally got lost and confused. Some have to do with the sexual identity has to do with more about the desires, romance, and that kind of thing. But the gender identity has more to do with the person as, you know, it relates to the relationship. I'm not talking about sexual relationship, just the person in and of himself. But there were so many words like transgender. There was one called cisgender. Is that right? Y'all help me. C-I-S-G-E-N-D-E-R, cisgender. There's gay, there's lesbian, there's the non-binary, this and that, and oh my God, it was so many terms. I'm like, my God, the whole gender spectrum is off the charts. You would have to literally write down each definition in order to know who, because there's so many little intricate things in there. God, this is confusing. And when these kinds of things are instilled in our young children, especially at an early age, it's difficult to undo, even for us as Christian parents. But we gotta fight. We gotta fight. We gotta tell them the truth. You may think this may be, you know, all this is just that political stuff and you know, it's not that significant. People can be what they want to be and they can do it. You know, as long as they don't bother me, I'm okay. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. This thing affects the family dynamics. I read an article where there was a child, there was a custody situation. The mother had custody of the child. The father would have the child on the weekends. Well, the mother was more prone to pushing her son into feminine ways. And the daddy wasn't having that. They ended up going to court. It was a big, ugly mess. The father did get custody of the child, of the children. But you see how it tears up the family? That's just one aspect. That's just one. So this thing goes far beyond just, oh, this is just the world's way. You know, this is just the world thing. No, 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 no. It affects every last one of us. And you think about generations. Let's not just park right here. Let's think about even the generations to come. Our grandchildren, those of you who are my age, and our grandchildren are going to have a lot to deal with if we don't do, as my granddaughter, I see she just came in, Oni says, I'm just doing the best I can. So if we don't do the best we can with what God has given us, our grandchildren are going to have a whole lot on their hands. Now, the other reason this thing is so important is because God had a purpose in mind for each one of us. He had a purpose in mind as to why you should be a man, Brother Jennings, why you should be a girl, a lady, a woman, Brad. God had something in mind. This wasn't just a little something where two people came together and, oops, okay, we got a girl, we got a boy. As I began to just zero in on some scripture, this part I entitled, you guys know I don't really do a title for my message until afterwards, and most of the time I have to ask you, what do you think the title is? Well, you know what I talked about, so what's that? But this part, and Pastor, I kind of piggybacked on you a little bit with this, mother, the womb that incubates potential. This part of it I call hidden figures designed and assigned by God. We're designed and assigned by God. Now, Brother Byron, I need you. You can do this faster than I can. I didn't put a little thing here to mark off my scriptures this morning. And y'all probably didn't bring your Bibles either, so y'all depending on Brother Byron, too. We need to give him an offering. But again, let's go back to God knew us before we were born. Go to Psalms 139, and let's start at verse number 13. And you guys probably already know this by heart, but I want us to zero in on it and focus in on it today, as we really think about the fact that we were hidden in this secret place called the mother's womb, but we were designed and assigned by God. Okay, Psalms 139, verse 13. Okay, let me... Psalm Ecclesiastes, Psalm, okay, 139. We're beating you through here this morning, Brother Byron. Okay, it says, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. You can leave that translation because I probably want to do another one anyway. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Look at this. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I'll stop there, but the rest of it is great as well. Did you hear that? He formed, like I said the other day, these familiar scriptures sometimes, we can miss the potency of them because we know them, we can quote them, but to really, really zero in, your eyes saw my unformed substance, one translation said. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me. So even in that, it's saying, God has your days set. He has your plans laid out. You know the scripture that talks about we have our plans, but God has his plan? Days were formed for me when as yet was made none of them. The days had not even been made. But God formed them for you. There's another scripture in Isaiah, I believe it's 41. I may not have written the whole thing. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. Galatians 1:15. But when he set me apart before I was born, he set me apart before I was born and called me by his grace. There are so many scriptures that talks about how God knew us before we were born. Another scripture talks about everything. I believe it's, here we go. Colossians 1:16. It talks about all things, everything that was made is by him, through him, and for him. So he made us for his purpose. Now, if he formed us before, our brains can't wrap around this. Before we were even in our mother's womb, we can't fathom that. Our brains can't do it. Because you got to try to think of something from nothing. First of all, it's hard to think of nothing, isn't it? Try to think of nothing. Who got it? Try to think of nothing. You only come up with the word, right? You just come up with the word nothing. We cannot even imagine nothing. So God formed us before we were even, he had already ordained for us. So what am I saying? It matters who you are. One of these definitions, back to the gender thing, had the nerve to say something about this identity that was assigned to you at birth. Assigned to you at birth. So in other words, whatever your, you know, organs are when you come out of your mother's womb, and they say, okay, your mother or your father might say, because you have a guy's thing, you're a guy, and because you have a girl's thing, you're a girl. But you can decide. You can still decide which one you really want to be. No. God designed and assigned it before you were even born. Before you were even born. And so while they're saying it was assigned, whatever it was that was assigned you at birth, they say, no, this was designed. This was assigned before birth, before you even, your parents even came together. It was already in motion because God did it that way. Ain't God something? I mean, isn't that wonderful? We can really scathe over it, but we have to really take the time and just think about it. And he provides everything that we need. Everything that we need to grow and mature. We become believers. Let me back up before I get there. You remember a few minutes ago I was talking about mothers. Okay, we really got to discuss this stuff and talk to our children. Since this is Mother's Day, I got to go here. You know, Mother's Day, we usually do the Proverbs 31. Y'all know it. Virtuous woman, who can find? For she's far more precious than rubies. And it talks about all of these things that we know we probably can't attain to, this virtuous woman. But I heard somebody say, and I had to agree, we actually hijacked Proverbs 31. We skip all over verse 1 through 8 or 9 where King Lemuel's mother was giving him some wisdom and some guidance, and she told him to, can you go to Proverbs 31 for me, please? Proverbs 31, because we have a tendency of skipping over this. But she shared some powerful wisdom with him in three areas. And while he's looking for it. But anyway, she talked about, and the way she said it was so mama-ly. She said, what shall I say? What shall I say? Something to that degree. So she was pondering, she was thinking, okay, you know, this is really important. This is really, really important. This is key. Some say King Lemuel was Solomon, and others say they're not sure, but let's just think about the wisdom that the mama laid down. Some say this was Bathsheba, I don't know, but let's look at, here we go. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. And from my understanding, utterance is like the same as prophecy. And back then, the words of the mother was stronger than the words of the wife. Sometimes it's still the same, isn't it? And it says, what, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? She's pondering what she's going to say. And she goes on to say, do not give your strength to women. She didn't say woman. Women. Do not give your strength to women. She didn't say what Smokey Robinson, I guess that was his mama or somebody's mama, that talked this song about, help me out. Shop around. Who knows the words to that? Shop around. Just because you've become a young man, there are some things that you don't know. Come on, y'all older folk, come on. Say it, because I don't know all of them. Just because you've become a young man, there are some things that you don't understand. Before you ask, girl, for a hand. My mama told me, you better shop around. Now, see, I don't know all the lyrics to it because it might have been some stuff in there that might have been helpful for real. Was it? It was? Okay, I thought she was talking about, you know, go out there and kind of sow your wild oats and, you know, go through a few of them. Because she's talking about some loving, you know, love. They were talking about the same love we talk about. But that's not what King Lemuel's mom was saying. She wasn't saying what Smokey Robinson's mom was saying. Shop around, I don't think. But do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine. She said, don't get drunk. Don't be drinking that alcohol. Nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth. Judge righteously and please the cause of the poor and needy. Three areas she talked about. Watch out for the women thing. Watch out for the alcohol. And make sure you judge righteously, because the kings were the ones who would administer justice. Unfortunately, well, some of this wisdom would have been nice to have applied in some recent, well, I'm gonna stop, in some cases, you know, watching out for the women, the alcohol, and judge righteously. We need righteous judgment. Our theme this year is choosing rightly. Choosing rightly means making right choices, wise choices. So King Lemuel's mother gave him some great advice. Now, we won't leave the daddy out. His daddy, if you read the first part of Proverbs, the very first part, it talks about where the dad gave instructions. At the end of Proverbs, it talks about the mother's instruction. So sandwiched in there, the father's instruction and the mother's instruction, and that's the way it's supposed to be. That is the way it's supposed to be. So, what do we take from this? What do we take from this? Certainly, we're honoring our mothers today. It's a good thing. It's a biblical thing to do. We want to remember that God formed us before we were born. He had a plan for us. And let me say this to mothers. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll think that our ultimate plan, our ultimate purpose is motherhood. It's gonna burst some of our bubbles, but it's not. Our ultimate purpose is to love God. Is to love God. Everything else comes under that. If you love God, you're gonna be a good mother. But the ultimate, I know I was so glad when I conceived. It took me 7 years. I was anxious to get pregnant. 7 years. Now, and you guys have heard me tell it before. As soon as I finally got the announcement, the next day I was wearing a maternity dress. So happy. Trying to stick my little belly out. Now I'm trying to pull it in. But motherhood is so special. And if we're honest as mothers, as much hard work as it is so satisfying, isn't it? Especially in the early days. It's so satisfying. But we never want to lose focus and do our good works as mothers and miss out on the ultimate purpose of God for our lives. So we have to keep ourselves in a place where we're constantly drawing closer to Him, that we're allowing Him to speak to us, that we are in His presence. And you can be in His presence, as I've said before, even when you're busy doing stuff. You can still recognize the presence of the Lord. You acknowledge His presence. It's not always where you're just sitting still somewhere, you know, looking at the trees, but it's lifestyle, it's life. We don't want to lose sight of our ultimate purpose, and that is to love God. The challenges will come. God is so good. He uses those challenges and those circumstances in our lives to bring us to a place of understanding our need for him. Because in raising children, it goes beyond your own power and efforts and your own wisdom. It goes beyond that. But God will take all of these challenges, all of these circumstances, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he will use them, if we allow him, to draw us closer to him, to help us to know him better. When we know him better, we love him more. When we know him better, we will grow to love him more. We will see his love. We will see and experience his power. And what are we to do? Give him thanks. Gratitude. Give him honor, of which he so deserves. So our work is cut out for us, isn't it? But by the help of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can make a difference. We can be the difference. Amen. I'm going to stop here. But Pastor, again, thank you so much for that article, that profound article. I hope you put it in a book. I really do. Amen. Cross Culture, thank you. Thank you for being here.